I'm sure you share with me a broken heart over the kinds of things that seem to be ganging up on this planet. My heart certainly broke when I saw the results of the hurricane hitting the coastline of Texas, and then Florida, and then Puerto Rico, and the earthquake in Mexico, and then this horrific shooting in Las Vegas. It's like every time I turn on the news, my heart breaks into more pieces. I can't count how many pieces there are. Something that has surprised me, and maybe you've experienced something different, but I haven't heard anybody say, well, that's because the end times are coming. This is the Armageddon. We're about to have the end of time come. Anybody heard that through all this? No. Isn't that interesting?
Somebody was on TV.
On television?
Yeah.
Were they? Well, you know, every earthquake, I've heard that kind of language. And when these kinds of things happen, it really does make us wonder if there's something about to happen that results in the end of time, the coming of Christ, the end of the age. And of course, we're warned out of Scripture not to play those games. Jesus said, only the Father knows, not even the Son knows. And it's not up to us to guess. And I've taken the attitude a long time ago that it's more important that I be ready whenever it comes, even if it's in the next 30 seconds, that we are living our lives knowing that we're ready. And frankly, I think that's what these scriptures are about today. There has been a sense in our Judeo-Christian theology that there is to be an end time when God finishes the plan. That the grand plan that was started with creating the Garden of Eden that got wrecked is rebuilt. And all has been set straight by Christ, and he comes back, and everything gets put in order. And so there's a understanding that there'll be a big banquet at that time. There will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain, no more disease. All those things go away, and we celebrate all that together. And so we have a responsibility from the story that Jesus gave to the Pharisees in this parable to understand that there is a dress code. There is a garment we are expected to be wearing. And I'm intrigued when I read about this idea that everybody is invited. Everybody is invited, but there's expected to be a garment worn. There's expected to be a dress code. And so what's this garment thing all about? What is it that we're expected to be wearing at this grand event? Well, after the Gospels come the epistles, and Paul wrote to the Philippians, a community he dearly loved, and he does quite a fantastic job of listing what those kinds of things are that constitute our putting on Christ, wearing Christ. And there are other quotes that Paul gives, very short, and let me give you these to unfold this theme for you that I want to explore with you today. In the 13th chapter of Romans, Paul said, "Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ." In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, Paul wrote, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So there's certainly an image here, isn't there, of us putting on this big, warm, furry coat like this morning that just covers us, surrounds us, protects us. And it is Christ. It is our living into the mind of Christ that allows us to put him on. And so Paul, again, wrote to the Philippians, And if you look at your scripture reading insert, you can follow along with me with little phrases out of that short passage that are explaining to us what that should be looking like in our lives. And the first, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Paul wrote this letter while he was in prison in Rome. He writes with a sense of joyfulness, even though he's in prison. He never allowed his outward circumstances to rule over his inner attitude, did he? Even when he listed being imprisoned and beaten and whipped and all these things that happened to him, he never allowed that to rule over his inner attitude. What he does instead is to describe a life of joy. Not necessarily always happiness, but joy. And saying and realizing then that it's not a matter of the mood we're in, but a matter of our will to decide that we are not going to fall into a mood of not rejoicing in God always. And the theological part of this is for us to see that rejoicing in the Lord carries with it a power. It's a power to accept that hardship is a way for us to learn how to lean on God and to rely on the power of God to get us through it. And this is a difficult one. And I feel it's a difficult one with all these things going on, and we see the people who are hurt and killed through all these different kind of things going on around us in the nightly news. But we are really being called on by Paul to see it as a way to rejoice in the Lord always. The next phrase, let your gentleness be known to all. And we think of Christ's love for children, his deep love for even marginalized people who no one else would even pay attention to, and his even forgiving the people who put him on the cross. I know just in this past week, I ended up getting counsel from a Christian friend to admonish me gently about the need for me to remember gentleness, the need to have that be part of my mood when I'm addressing challenges. So to whom do you owe a spirit of gentleness? It's a good question to reflect on. The next phrase, do not worry about anything, but make your request to God in prayer. Because we trust that God changes things, and God changes, and prayer changes us. Prayers open our spirits to God's spirit, and new ideas arise. I know over the last week I've been praying about how can we actually provide help beyond prayers, certainly. But in addition to prayers, how can we help these people being ravaged by these fires in Santa Rosa and Napa areas? And then I got a text message from Reverend Artis telling me about the people, her father who had to be evacuated from his home, and people she knows who have lost their homes. And then I found out about Bob Sigismund's company having damaged their building, and several of his fellow employees losing their homes. It touches us directly. And what she said was, I'm going up on Wednesday, and I can take a carload of donations. And I thought, wow, this is not coincidence. This is a God incident again. This is a way to actually provide some physical help to these people. And so it is a way for us to make our request to God in prayer and not just worry about it, but do something about it. Next, dedicate your lives to things that are true and honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise. This is reminding us that being Christian is not just what we call ourselves. It's not just that we've learned about what's good and what's bad and trying to do the good. It's about, as a Christian, being called to a life of Christ and spend our life figuring that out. And it's a lifelong journey. to figure it out. And we need to be at it every day. It's a call to keep moving into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a call to spend time with other Christians so that we can help their challenges through our fellowship with them, and so that they can help us through our challenges, which involves being vulnerable, doesn't it, when we open up to that degree. Putting on Christ is an investment that we need to decide to make. Do you feel ready? I've had people approach me who've been struggling with this issue. I don't think they realized it was about not being ready, but people approach me who would have a spouse or a child or a close friend who has died, and they don't know how to honor their life. They don't know how to say goodbye, but they know that they want God involved in it. I've had couples approach me who would like to have a civil marriage blessed, or they would like to have a marriage in the church, but they are not churchgoers, quote, but they know they want to have God involved. I've had family and church friends approach me about disagreements that they're engaged in, and like Paul, who was describing this disagreement between Euodia and Syntyche in Philippi, these two women who were arguing, he knew that he needed through that letter to get God involved in that situation to help resolve it. Do you ask God to get involved to help you resolve conflict? We see the cruel acts of terrorism against innocent people, like the shootings in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago. God needs to be involved. We see people abused because of the egocentric authority of rulers around the world. God needs to be involved. Well, the way it gets involved is by the world seeing God's love in action through us who wear Christ, in the way we raise our children, and the way we handle our family relationships, the way we manage disagreements, how we operate as a church community, how we act to make a difference in the world and in Hollister. It's about you and me making a commitment today and every new day to clothe ourselves with the garment of Christ, to put him on. And let's help to clothe each other with Christ, to show the world how central our life in Jesus Christ is to our outlook, to our attitude, to our joy, to our generosity, to our caring for each other. Amen.